Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome, one and all, to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thank you for being here, spending some time with us on yet another exciting episode. I'm really excited to talk about this next guest. We're going to get to it. But first, we got to do this. We have to plug a little bit of our sponsorships, and that is Optum, who helps us out with our walk and roll events. So check them out on optum.com. They create a healthier world. Check out also our other two sponsors, Perk and Elmer and Fulcrum Therapeutics. Later, we'll hear more from them, but they are definitely a huge part of our community, especially as we all know Fulcrum and their big news of phase 3 trials and stuff. So I'd like to keep them in the forefront and so excited they're sponsors of this program, along with many other FSHD Society events, including our great sponsor, Perk and Elmer, also equally as involved with our community. So our great thanks to them. If you want to get in contact with me, please do so. You can do that during the airing of the show or after. Love to hear from you guys. That's really what I'm about. I want to get connected, see how you all are doing. You can plug in with me through email, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org is the best way to get in touch with me. And you can find any of our shows out there where you can find podcasts. You can find them on Spotify, which is my place of choice, but whatever yours may be, it's out there. And of course, YouTube, Facebook, et cetera. If you've missed the shows or if you prefer to watch, that's what this is. This platform is created for you too. So let's get to it. We have a guest waiting in the wings that I'm excited to talk to. His name is Dylan King, and I think you're all going to be excited to listen to what he has to say and what he brings to the table. Dylan, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here, spending some time with us today.
Thanks, Tim. I really appreciate it. I'm really excited to be here.
It is an interesting story, I think, that you're gonna share with us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, maybe a little bit of that FSHD story.
Well, so my story kind of, I would say it was pretty long and drawn out. It took me quite a long time to get a diagnosis. I only got diagnosed back in 2018, I believe. And it was a long journey. And it stemmed from, I joined the Marine Corps in 2012 and, didn't really have any kind of issues and everything outside of like, I felt a little something in my shoulder. And, as time went on throughout my first enlistment, I started noticing that it was getting a lot harder to do certain activities such as pull-ups, everything like that. It felt like my shoulder was dislocating every time you go do something like that. As time went on, I started trying to get it looked at, and it stemmed from noticing that it was going to hold back my career if I wasn't able to figure out what was going on. And I kept going to physical therapy. No one could tell what was going on my shoulder. On my first deployment, the synopsis was that you have Pollen syndrome. So Pollen syndrome is a genetic disease that affects people. It affects their pectorals. At the time, I still had full development in one of my pectorals. The other one was pretty much all gone. And that was the mindset was, oh, you have Pollen syndrome. What are we going to do to fix it? So I started going to physical therapy for it. Then as time went on, I started noticing that it was a lot tougher. It was getting a lot tougher to do those pull-ups, to do sit-ups, to do anything along those lines, and because very rigorous lifestyle being in the military. And so I started going through the medical process again, and they thought this is an orthopedic problem. Something's going on with your shoulder, everything like that. So I started getting x-rays and whatnot. Finally, like this took years. Finally, someone said, there's a chance that this is neurological. And so I started going to see neuromuscular doctors, and that was quite the adventure. And got my blood work drawn. One of the neurologists I saw at Walter Reed Medical Hospital in Maryland. He hypothesized that I probably have some type of muscular dystrophy. So he did the blood work, got it sent out to Iowa, University of Iowa, and the diagnosis came back FSHD. Of course, I didn't know what it was, but pretty much I knew at that point that my military career was over. And so I started digging into the weeds because honestly, the doctor himself, there was not a lot of knowledge as far as what it was. It was pretty vague, except for I had a degenerative muscular disease that even though mine was ruled as benign, nonetheless, it was still going to, you know, get worse and I needed to be medically separated. And, you know, for me at the time, that sucked. And I didn't know what else I was going to do. You know, I also, I could go to college or anything like along those lines, but the fact that like physically my career is, I wouldn't be able to do much, you know, and I'm a very physical person. I didn't know what I was going to do, but one of the things I did notice though, and something that always stuck with me and has kind of driven me to where I am now is they said that your situation could be a lot worse, but the fact that you are pretty avid with your lifting and the way that you work out, it could have been a lot worse. And as far as the, how quick it went, how aggressive it was and everything, they pretty much told me that I slowed the process, because of, you know, the way I PT'd and everything like that, and, you know, the way I work, the way I did any kind of my lifts and whatnot. And it stuck with me. And so years ago, I was sitting there thinking, you know, maybe I could turn this into, you know, there's an idea formulating here as far as making content and whatnot. And yeah, that's long story short, you know, so it led into where I am now, where I've made a bunch of ideas as far as making lifting content for our community, and a bunch of other stuff too. Like, because to me, physical fitness and everything like that, it bleeds into a whole other sets of, I guess, things that people can contend with, mental health, their nutrition, all kinds of other things. So yeah, that's pretty much the story through it all. My time in the military did come to an end, but I was blessed to get a chance to fall into a really good job opportunity with the DOD on the contracting side. And through it all, also was able to figure out that I thought maybe, you know, I was, you know, sometimes they tell you that FSHD will mutate, that you'll be like, you could, the chance I could be the first one, but I found out I got diagnosed, and then my mother finally went and she got tested. She has it. And then, I have two brothers, two younger brothers. One, my middle brother, he has it. My youngest, he does not. So, because of that, I have one kid already, and I have another one on the way. I want to make sure that, like, if, you know, they have it as well, if we find out in the future, I'm best prepared to, you know, teach them the ways that they can take care of their bodies and everything. So,
That you shared some amazing information within that stretch. And there's a couple spots that, you know, kind of raised my attention, you know, maybe those that are listening. So you said that you joined into the Marine Corps in 2012, right? Is that, did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yep. And then how recently, after you joined, did you start realizing that physically there was something going on? And then by the time you were, I guess, discharged, is that the proper term?
Yep.
So kind of what's that window like? Like, how long were you in there and then realized, hey, uh-oh, something's up?
Okay, I was 19 when I joined, and I started noticing probably a little bit of symptoms probably a year or two in, especially my first deployment, because on my first deployment, this is the kicker. The first deployment is when I started like really getting into lifting and I started putting on mass. When I joined, I was pretty skinny guy. It wasn't like, I was just tall and lanky and everything like that. But as my first deployment, I started putting on mass, and it was people that are around me that kind of noticed, like, especially because of the scapular winging, people come up to me like, yo, what's going on with your shoulder? Your shoulder is all messed up. Like, it's extremely noticeable. And me, I'm sitting there like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Right. And my body had, I guess, grown, you know, used to it. So that was about 2 years in. And then time went a lot, like life went on, like I kind of just made do with what it was. I thought like I just have a bad shoulder because I wrestled in high school, you know, like, oh, okay, you know, it's just, you know, just a weak shoulder, you know, I just got to be careful with it, take care of it. And as I got older and everything, I like, especially being able to step away from having to do as much running and everything like that, as you get a little bit longer in, I was putting on more mass. I was getting into powerlifting. I was getting into Olympic lifting and all that stuff. And when I put on more mass, of course, as that's going, like, I have full development over here, and then I had nothing over here. Okay. And so I wasn't symmetrical. And I, of course, as I got longer in, I had a lot of my friends who were just getting into bodybuilding, everything like that. And I remember I'd sit there, I'm like, wish I could do that, but you know, something's going on over here.
Yeah.
And you know, it didn't really bother me. Yeah. Like it just is what it is. I thought, like, okay, I have some kind of nerve damage possibly. That's the other part, is that my first enlistment, but like, I possibly have nerve damage. And it wasn't kind of atrophy. That's why I leaned towards nerve damage and orthopedic issue. And so I'd say was that 2012. And like I said, it took about 4 years to really go down the rabbit hole as far as going through the medical process. Mm-hmm. And then it took a couple years, like I said, till 2018 is, I think, is when I got my diagnosis. 2018, I think, I'm trying to remember it. It's a little spacey, because then from there, it just went rather quickly. And I got out in 2020, January of last year, or no, January of 2021, excuse me. Okay. And honestly, I would say where I'm at now, it's because of FSHD. But I would say it hasn't held me back from anything. So that's part of what my plan for content is, going to address certain things along the lines.
So with your family having it, that obviously spawned them to get tested, which is pretty incredible. Some want to know, some don't. You know, we can all appreciate who's ever, you know, whatever decision that is. What was the reaction then with your family when they started realizing that it was within the family, that it was passed?
I would say, I think initially my mother, she felt to an extent, I guess this is, you know, naturally what a parent may feel, what some people, especially listeners, may feel would be a sense of guilt. And my thing was with my mom is like, you know, there's no way to predict this. There's no nothing. Like, it is what it is. Life continues. And like, it's not the supposed to be mindset. And the best thing to do is we educate ourselves. So my thing is like, okay, mom, you have it. She's I would say she's one of those cases where you can't tell. Like, she doesn't really show any symptoms, since she's about to be 50. She doesn't show any symptoms at all. And I think the biggest thing is like, no, let's educate ourselves, so that way as you do get older, you're prepared, you know how to handle these types of things, you know the people to go see. you know, and along those lines. So initially, you know, there was a little bit of, you know, sadness, I guess, to an extent. Sure. You know, when I found out about it, I was pretty down in the dumps because I knew that, like, that was the final nail in the coffin as far as my military career. Right. But there's one door closes, another one opens. Mm. So,
yeah, there's definitely that aspect of it where, you know, you can see it as, this sucks, this is over, now what do I do? Of course, I'm finding that people that have FSHD, as we are as a collective community, are master adapters. You were adapting before you knew what you had, and you had it your whole life. You know, this is a DNA thing, and that's what I try to stress to people that don't know about the disease is, you know, this is not autoimmune that kind of rears its ugly head. Like, this has been within us, and we didn't know that we were adapting. Our bodies just figured it out. So for you, with the lifting and doing those things, yeah, there was probably some positive things that helped you and your body withstand any of the effects of FSHD. Maybe it kind of, you know, built up the strength enough so then the causes of the disease or how it showed itself wouldn't be so detrimental so quickly. So to that effect, it was a good situation. I was relatively athletic myself. I did a lot of sports. I, you know, did things, but same thing when you talked about lifting and your counterparts were lifting as well. And they're like, wait a minute, something's going on with your shoulder blade. People would kind of say the same thing to me, you know, when I would throw or do different things, even simple actions. Like my wife, after I got diagnosed, she went, that's why you put your jacket on weird. I go, what?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
She's like, hey, like all this room. And I'm like, what? You know, and you, like you said, you think, ah, no, it's just, that's just the way I am. And there was something profound that one of my doctors, you know, and I can totally relate to the trail of doctors that you were following, you know, of one would say, I'm not sure, move you on to the next. And it was the ortho for me that had me standing, you know, profiled to a mirror, shirts off. He's examining me. We kind of paused for a minute. He goes, Tim, look over at yourself and tell me, do you see something wrong or do you see yourself? And I said, yeah. No, I see myself. I just see myself. And he's like, well, I see something wrong. And he explains why. So with your friends saying, no, man, your scap is totally, you know, pronounced there. It shouldn't be like that. And when you told me in that story there, I just thought it was just, that's just me. Right. Yep. You didn't, right. You just adapt. So with adapting from military life, obviously now you're doing more of the teaching contracted work. That's awesome. You're making adjustments in that world. How about the connection with FSHD Society? When did you kind of come across that and then get connected within that world?
Well, so one of the things that drew me towards at least seeking out something in general was, I was like I said, when I told my mom, seek knowledge. So I started looking up anything I could to teach myself a little bit more, see what's going on, especially in light of with the development of any kind of therapeutic treatment or anything like that. So I started Googling. And I found FSHD Society's YouTube videos because I personally, like, I go on drives. I like to listen to something over the speakers and whatnot. Right. And I was like, I'm going to learn as much as I can. So I'd listen to a lot of the videos, other people's testimonies and everything like that. And also there was a drive to be connected to people who are like me. And I found a lot of the pages on all the social media, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and so saw people that are similar, went on TikTok and all these other social media apps. And I had been following FSHD Society for a good while on Instagram, and yeah. I reached out relatively recently, probably less than a month or two ago. And I said, like, you know, as I'd had FSHD Society followed me on there, and I'd had them on there for well over a year or so, because I used to make stuff like talking about, like, talking about muscular dystrophy and whatnot. I toyed the line with making content, at least talking about it and bringing awareness to the disease. And so I reached out and I said, I have some ideas here. And I just wanted to talk to, I guess, the experts, or see if the FSHD Society could put me in touch with more folks, because I wanted to make content, and I want to make, I would say, content that is very well versed. I know what I'm talking about, you know, and nothing from a point of ignorance or anything like that. Like, put out stuff that could actually educate people and help. And also, for me, the kicker is the idea of educating people that don't have the disease. And so that was what it was. I have this idea to make content that can connect everybody, you know, and so it's not just us, you know, in our own little niche and everything like that. It's like, no, we'll connect to the folks who that deal with this kind of issue, deal with this kind of issue, deal with this kind of disease. Also the folks that had no disease, you know, right. No any kind of thing, and like connect everybody. And so that means videos of lifting, types of ways to educate folks on ways that they can still lift and still put on mass, put on strength, because I was able to do it. When I joined the Marine Corps, I was 180 pounds. And I'd say now here I am, like over 10 years later, and I'm about 270. And wow. It's strength. I was able to grow. I was still able to grow, even though I have this disease. And I wanted to share, like, you know, if I can do it, I feel like there's other ways that other folks can do it. And the big thing is it makes people feel a little bit better. You know, if it can help some folks in their mindset with this disease, is like, you know, this, the idea that, you know, they're losing mass, they're losing strength.
Right.
There's ways to work with what you still have. And there's still, like, you mean, yeah, not going to be that big bodybuilder. You know, right. Not going to be that giant, you know, strongman or anything like that. But you can definitely, you know, see a little extra vein pop out and everything like that. Mm-hmm. You can put a little bit more thickness and whatnot. Or you can gain mobility. You can gain back your flexibility. You can feel a little bit, as far as a little bit more range of motion and everything like that. I've been trying to self-teach myself a lot. Okay. I also work with a lot of people in the fitness industry. And that is a content I plan on bringing. And also a sense of comedy, some humor and everything like that. Like I said, to bring everyone all in. And I think that's a good way to expand it.
Absolutely. So yeah. Tell me a little, you got my attention with, you know, the growing a little bit of, if it's like you said, like girth, because it feels like, right, this thing is just wasting us away and we become shells, you know, of ourselves. Like, what is happening? You know, you're losing muscle mass and hence your body is changing its shape and the whole thing. It's just insane what comes of us. And to anything we can do, and granted, I'm speaking as the collective community, but I feel like anything we can do to kind of just hold it back a little bit longer, stop it from, you know, processing that much faster. And so same with the whole girth and things. I remember when I was, you know, 20-ish, 30-ish years old, I'm 46 now. People would ask me, do you lift weights? And I'd always say, nope. So I had this presence of, you know, lifting everything in the shoulders, because my arms really weren't doing it. The biceps weren't, the pectorals weren't. It was shoulders. So it gave me this very squared off frame, blah, blah, blah. But if they saw my arms, I kind of joke now, I'm like, I'm kind of like a snowman. You know, I mean, I got a heavy middle, but like, you know, T-Rex little arms, you know. And that same, when you mentioned humor, same thing. Like, yeah, so I'm just got to laugh it off. It just becomes this thing we kind of joke at, this FSHD thing. So in kind of pinpointing about what you said about girth, is that a mix of then nutrition? You know, is it protein intake? Is it certain exercises that can help, but yet not hurt us at the same time? Because we've heard that message, like, don't lift or don't not exercise, but be careful how much you do it. So kind of like, what's your thought process on that?
My thought process is that there's a similarity between the, just because we have the disease, we know that it affects everyone differently, that there's folks that are in wheelchairs, there's folks that are immobile. There's of course the parts of the disease that affect face in regards to facial features, being able to drink out of a straw, right? We know that there's different levels to it all. the way to like my goal in addressing it and stuff is, even for folks who don't have the disease, who people are don't have it, everybody's body is different. And so when it comes down to the idea of what could any of us do to put on a little bit more mass or to gain a little bit more flexibility, is it's going to be a lot of trial and error. There's going to be, there is no cookie cutter solution as far as what can we, everyone, do. For some folks, it will come down to nutrition as how they could try to gain more mass. For some folks, it'll be doing different variations of lifting. You could still lift, excuse me, and kind of figure out what fits you more than anything. That's my big goal, is because this is going to be for myself a kind of a journey of like, self-discovery in regards to some of these things. But in light of my experience of what I've been able to do, I'm going to bring that to the table. Yeah. But as far as gaining mass, it could be as simply as positioning yourself differently on certain equipment and being able to hyper-focus on certain parts, being able to execute certain movements in your own special variation. The difference between machines, cables, and free weights, and of course, body weight. There's a slew of things out there that are available. And my idea would be, let's tackle it all. Let's look at it and see what it is. So for folks who, for me, of course, it affects my upper body. I don't ever bench press or anything like that. But you know what? My legs are still perfectly fine. I'm going to go and squat and do all these other things, and you'll see what it does to build it up. Well, for the folks who have a great deal of atrophy, what can we do to address certain things in regards to mobility, flexibility? Because in my opinion, that's more important for what various stages that we have this disease. And so the idea of getting a lot more people involved and seeing how it could be addressed at certain degrees is huge. And of course, nutrition, yeah, that's gonna be a big part. No matter what. I would say I'm still learning on that front, but I could go with probably lowering some calories and everything like that, but yeah. Ultimately, at the end of the day, everyone's body is different. As long as we all understand that, there's still ways that we can address going about these things and making ourselves feel better, because it definitely helps me. It helps me so much in my mental attitude, happiness, the way that I feel about having this disease and everything like that. For me, I am able to kind of forget about it, or I'm right. Like, yeah, I'm at the gym. I can't do certain workouts that some other guys can, but the guys and gals, doesn't really matter as far as seeing what people are able to bring, exert and everything like that. But I'm still able to do other things. I'm still able to build mass, build strength and everything like that. I just got to do it a little differently. And it kind of takes the mediocre boringness out of it all, because you get to experiment. And you'll see, like, even for folks who are a little bit older, folks that are a little bit younger, various degrees, it takes a little bit of experiment and everything like that. And not to be unmotivated and put down by the folks that we see around us who don't have the disease. That's the key message here, is that you're going to go and you may, feel disheartened because you see folks who are just strong, full, and that can be pretty off-putting. And my thing is, there's a lot that can be done there.
So you kind of started to go the direction I was going, so nice segue as you'll see here. When it comes to men, right, I mean, okay, if I go, I work at a physical therapy place, and within this space that I work at, I'm just a front desk person. So I'm not doing any of the exercise with people unless they need just eyes on someone to assist. Beyond that, I'm not really in it. But in this room, there's also sports performance. So there's hardcore weightlifting going on, you know, and I'm seeing it all. And I'm like, I can't do that. I don't know if I ever could do that, you know, sometimes, but, and I am enamored by the capabilities of the human body and what it can do and, you know, pushing it sometimes, not others, you know, concentrating on the workout, having the pride afterward, seeing the end result. But it, for me, a person with this disease, I know I've had this enter my mind. I'm sure it's entered others. Okay, fine. So I go lift some weights. Nothing's going to change. So why do I do it? So what do you say to those kind of, you know, I'll play devil's advocate on you a little bit here. You know, those naysayers, as I would call them, stealing a phrase from someone I follow greatly, which is John Gordon, is those energy vampires that just want to take your positivity and then just, you know, crap all over it.
I would say, especially for myself, of experiencing that, of like, what's the point? What is the point? The point is, ultimately, if you stop, like you're on top of the fact, like I said, not just your physical, but your mental health and everything like that, you're neglecting it. And in my opinion, that's like things that just you can't allow to happen. Ultimately, is my mindset is you're going to have to probably humble yourself, suck it up, whatever it takes, and realize to take the ego out of it and realize what you're doing to just simply make yourself. I can't remember the athlete who preaches this, but I too have this thing of like the idea mindset of making yourself 1% better each day.
Yeah.
And so it comes down to if there's a significant amount of arm strength weakness, or anything like along those lines. Well, if we're going to go curl and we can only do 5 pounds today, let's see what we can do to set a goal of 10 pounds. By next week or something along those lines. It's not going to be, it's a marathon. This is not a sprint. And like the key thing is like, you can't lose motivation. And as long as you can do some things to improve each day, you really have to address it and whatnot. For the folks within the community, it's very easy to be disheartened. And my big thing is no, you can have a completely normal life. You can still find ways to do it. Don't feel sorry for yourself because we've been blessed with a little bit more of a challenge and whatnot. Overcome it and use it to also motivate people, because my mindset is if I'm missing the majority of my upper body, you know, I'm still able to have grown certain things and whatnot. If I'm still able to, I'm missing the majority of my upper body, but I'm still getting after it. What is your excuse? You know, what is, and this, like I said, this is something that could tie in everybody into we folks that don't have the disease or anything like that is, if I can get after it, why can't you? Right. You know, if I can do this, why can't you? And I say the biggest people that motivate me are the folks who are, you know, afflicted by certain diseases and injuries and everything like that. You know, seeing them overcome it is amazing. So my mindset is, I guess, you know, a long-winded response to what you just asked is we can't feel sorry for ourselves, and we got to figure out like kind of a niche that you can fit into, as far as, you know, if you start getting into this, is you can lift, you can go run, you can go do something, you can get into more so with nutrition, yoga, all this kind of stuff. You can find something, and I promise any one of us that will be incredibly thankful that we did.
Mm-hmm. You know, I totally agree. Yeah. You hit on a lot of good things, and motivation seemed to be the main word that came out of that. And it is hard to motivate, but that's what you're here for. I think that by the time we're done here, people might be trying to reach out to you, Dylan, to get that motivation. And that's kind of, I think your purpose. To be here right now. The other side of it, and I'm going to kind of touch on the masculinity side here, which is, you know, I know I'm a guy that does the show and stuff like that, and I want to be about the community, but there is a part of our community that are males. And in our society, from my opinion, is that males are represented by their size and their strength and how much muscles they have and abdominal strength and all this stuff. You can see it on TV, you see it on advertisements, etc. Guys with six packs, and it's like, well, then am I less am I less of a man? It's not always just a muscles are going away, but my masculinity is too. What's your opinion, take, thought on that?
Oh man. I absolutely have felt that. In the sense of being able, like, I'm never going to walk around and be a big barrel chested strong man or something like that along those lines. And I would say, I think a good amount of self-awareness is the best way to defeat that. And when I say that is, you know what the case is, and when I say that, you, for anyone listening or anything like that, you know, as far as, how you are, what kind of person you are, male, female, anything along those lines. And masculinity is not defined by, being able to bench press an obscene amount of weight off your chest or something along those lines. It's not. And the way that you'll be able to carry yourself and being able to approach the day and everything like that, that's going to be the ultimate factor. I'm big on this as far as, when it comes down to addressing these kinds of things, because for a while, it definitely hampered me as far as like what my, what I felt is my self-worth. And I noticed when it came down to just having a certain level of just being self-aware of like, no, I'm pretty manly, I'm pretty on top of this. I can still take care of my family. I can still, teach and educate my friends. I can still, hold, influence over anybody and everything along those lines. And the big thing is, why not? Any one of us, we have something that is, a lot of people to deem as a very big obstacle to overcome. Well, why not just use it to turn it into educating folks and whatnot? No one can say anything to you. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's a lot of it's out of our control. We're not going to be bodybuilders. We're not going to be massive individuals. We're not going to be this or that. You can't control that. It is what it is. That doesn't define what any one of us are. And especially when it comes down for the male audience and realizing that you have atrophy, you're going to have smaller limbs or skinnier build or something along those lines. You are tougher than anyone else can put on you. And you are so incredibly strong, but it's the fact of being able to go in, get out of your bed, to get up, keep going, going to the gym or going and making, taking care of your body and everything along those lines. That is incredible strength. And still being able to go about your life and not let this disease take hold of you and affect your mentality, that's incredibly strong. And that applies to everybody. And that was, I think I said, as level of self-awareness and realizing like, just knowing the reality, that is the case. That is what's going on here. And I've realized like, I'm not gonna be that this or that. That don't mean like I am any less. That's my approach towards that.
Now, you've given a lot of great advice. I think we've only scratched the surface on it. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be looking to find out more of how they can maybe get in touch with you. So one of my last questions for you is, first plug that, at this point, we recorded this months prior to its airing. So, we're all going to keep that in mind, but for people that want to, at this point, find you, learn more about what you have to bring when it comes to motivation, fitness, health, men's health, where can they find you?
So my goal is I'm going to try to make pages for pretty much every social media outlet that you could possibly think of. First and foremost, I've already made a Gmail or email account for people to reach out on top of my personal. I have no problem having anyone reach out to me, my personal email also, but social media is going to, every page is going to be called Outlifting FSHD.
Nice.
So it's all going to be all together, no underscores. It's just going to be Outlifting FSHD. And my goal is, first and foremost, is Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and also making videos on for YouTube. And then so for email, it's going to be outliftingfshd@gmail.com. And those, I already have a bunch of those set up. And by the time this airs, those pages will be up and have content. And yes, I highly encourage folks to come and engage with me, hold me accountable, and also join me, because I can't do this alone.
No way.
Know, and there's like, it's, I'm just like one perspective, and this is a community perspective. But like, there's ways we can outlift FSHD and defeat it and whatnot. And yeah, that's the best way.
So are you, what is the goal for outlifting FSHD? I know there's a social media and trying to keep content fresh and new stuff. That's a huge undertaking. That is not a small task. That is a lot of time and energy. What are your hopes? If you fast forward, if it's a year from now or whatnot, you know, as the content builds, what are you hoping you to take it to?
Mainstream, reaching, being on the same page, being on the same level as, of, especially when it comes down to raising awareness for this, on the same level as some of the bigger diseases out there, cancer, AIDS, all kinds of different, the other types of muscular dystrophy and everything like that, bringing very serious awareness towards it. And there's already so much going on. Recently, Lululemon's CEO found out that he has FSHD, donated so much money towards it. And like, that's just amazing when it comes down to what everyone can do. But what if, you know, he donates 100 million? Well, what if we need 100 million and $10? You know, what can we do to bring some, bring more into it, that it gets that breakthrough as far as treatment goes? And the bringing the mainstream, also connect everyone, connect us to the rest of the weightlifting, the fitness community, and people in general through sense of humor, skits, jokes, you know, not taking it such a serious kind of, I'd say, droll, you know, kind of approach in general, like, yeah, this is what it is. You have this. Like, no, you got a disease. We're going to go, you'll be okay. We're going to get through it. And so we're going to be able to figure out something that best fits your particular body along those lines. And yeah, that's the big goal, is mainstream, is to make this more known. That you ask someone, or you tell someone about FSHD, and they're like, what's that? The goal is to take it away, because it's like, oh, FSHD, yeah, I donated towards that, you know, for their research. Oh, yeah, they got the treatment coming out soon. So,
So final question, final thought. I guess I would love to throw this at you. Someone maybe is listening to this, watching it, and they just were recently diagnosed. What's the advice you would give them? I know you've kind of sprinkled along that line throughout the conversation, but I'd like to kind of package it up in like that final thought to them.
One door may be closing, but another one's going to open. You know, like, you're not alone. You are not alone. That's probably one of the biggest things, is figuring out that like, there is a legitimate community that is incredibly encouraging, compassionate, kind, that you will have plenty of resources. Yeah. And it just, this diagnosis is not going to hold you back from anything. You'll still be able to do everything and anything that you want to set to. Yeah, well, maybe not everything. Maybe you're not going to be, you know, jumping some walls or you know, participating in the strongman competitions, but you know, who cares? You can still go do amazing things. So it's ultimately a sit back, refocus, and attack whatever the next objective is. So nice.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Dylan, for joining us, spending this time with us. Very motivational. Man, I love the Outlifting FSHD. What a great title for that. That is,
thank you.
That is awesome. I want to see like t-shirts. I want to see
yeah.
man, you know, like, I don't know. I'm already thinking like black t-shirts, just blaze orange, outlifting FSHD on there, you know.
There's a lot of ideas.
Yeah, maybe you start opening some gyms across the country that, you know, just your feet, like, this is where we go to work out. It was made for us, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
That's awesome. Man, I think the sky's the limit for you, sir. Thank you very much for being a part of it.
I can't thank you enough for even giving me the opportunity to come speak. Hopefully we can do it again sometime. And also, I'm available whenever.
So. Absolutely. Oh yeah, you'll definitely be back. I mean, we got like telethons and those kind of things that we do too. So we need you to add onto the guest list. So we'll definitely be in touch. You can't hide from us now that you've revealed yourself.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Take care. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Bye, Tim.
Bye-bye. That is Dylan King. He is a motivation man. That is, I think, the push that we need. You know, that strong man, the burly guy at the back of the, what is that? The tug of war, right? The anchor. There you go. He's holding the line. That's what we got. He's holding the line. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Have a little thoughts about the interview. The FSHD Society Radio Show. The FSHD Radio Podcast is brought to you by Fulcrum Therapeutics. Fulcrum Therapeutics is a proud sponsor of the FSHD Radio Podcast. The team at Fulcrum is working to develop innovative therapies targeting the root causes of genetic diseases, including FSHD. As the only company with a drug in clinical stage development for FSHD, Fulcrum is proud to support programs that are helping more people learn about FSHD and the critical need for research that can lead to new treatments. For information and updates about Fulcrum, visit their website at fulcrumtx.com. You can also connect with them on LinkedIn or follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Welcome back to the show, FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here. Thank you to our guest, Dylan King, who brought some incredible strength. He's a Marine, folks. We got that in our corner now, along with many other vets out there, people in the military. There's another person representing that branch of our community. I love it. Love it. Just recently heard from him. We're recording this. This is March when we recorded this episode, and I know we're airing it later in the year as we kind of stockpile the episodes. So with that in mind, you know, we did not hear from Dylan much about it, you know, within his diagnosis time. And then all of a sudden he came about and said, I think I want to be a part of something. He reached out. They thought there was similar feelings in that way, is that he's bringing his skill set of strength, motivation. He knows how to lift. He knows how to use the body properly. We've had other athletic style guests on talking about physical therapy and therapies and that nature. Dylan is kind of within that world, but a little more. To me, he's a little more extreme. He's actually kind of pushing us to go, can you lift it and be safe? Can you get girth? Can you get things to size up? He believes you can. And he's saying that his body is proof of that fact. I think that if you follow Outlifting FSHD, you can email him. You say outliftingfshd@gmail.com or search those things through TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and those things. As this airs here in the middle of the year, June, July, I'm not sure exactly when this is airing live, but when you do, there's going to be plenty of content up by this point, which is the purpose of why we recorded it when we did and why we're releasing it when we are. So you are aware of it, giving Dylan that time to create these platforms for you. So no pressure, Dylan. I hope you got it all up there for us, because now they're coming. They're going to come to learn more. And the fact that he came out to tell us, hey, I think these things are valuable. He also has other ideas in the works. And we talked about this, me and him, before we hit record, was, you know, men's mental health. We We didn't cover it a lot in this episode simply because we were covering so many other things, but I'd like to have him back and maybe even sometime at some point, a roundtable discussion with men about this disease and possibly even our own group. I don't know, but there's something to be said of society. And we touched on it in this interview, how society looks at males. We're supposed to be strong. You don't cry. You got big muscles and you can lift stuff and all this. It is mentally defeating to be constantly seeing, you know, bulky ripped dudes or even just strong people that don't necessarily have the muscle tone, but they're strong. I'm around a lot of those type of people, or they have this masculinity attitude that, well, if I got big arms and big muscles and all this stuff, that means I'm a real man and all that. Believe it or not, agree with it or not, it still exists and it can still plague on someone's mental health when it comes to what you see in the world to what you are presenting to the world. It can be very difficult to deal with. I know I, for one, can say that for a fact. It's hard. And it should not be something that should be ignored. So I wanted to touch on that within this part. The other thing I kind of keyed in on in our conversation was when you go to the gym, he said, you got to humble yourself and realize that you're going to probably get looks. If you go to a regular gym, like a regular old, I'm not going to plug any of them, but you know, you go in with it, with the community of people working out and you're doing things a little different, or how you do it looks a little different, or your body looks different when you're doing the workouts, you will get looks. I've gotten them. You have to get humble when you walk in. So there's a term I love to use, and I use it throughout this summer with my ball club, and that's stay humble, stay hungry. Stay humble when you get to the gym. It's about just what you need to do. Focus on what you need to do. Someone asks what's going on, tell them what you have. Now you get to educate someone. Stay humble in it. And then, of course, stay hungry. Stay hungry to get better. Stay hungry to get as athletic as your body can allow you to. What is that limit without hurting yourself, without causing more damage? It is possible. And I am one that I'm not speaking from some place on some pedestal. Hey, man, I got discipline problems, man. I cannot keep a workout going, dude. That's why they call it a workout. I work enough. I don't want to do more work. You know, they don't call it fun out. I'm going to go fun out. No, it's workout. It's a mentality to it. So maybe we hold each other accountable. Take my own advice, right? Stay humble, stay hungry, get after it. That's the key. That's the key. And keep those regular checks with your doctor, with your specialist. See where your baselines are. See if you've gained any. See if you've lost any. You know, CTRN, joint, you know, then you're joining within that community. Do everything you can to kick this thing off the planet. Everything you can. Dylan had a great example of, okay, I think he said the Le Mans CEO, you know, found out he has it, so he's probably going to push a bunch of money at it. Awesome. But he's like, what if we're 10 bucks short? Are we bringing the 10 bucks? That's kind of the idea. Our part is still meaningful. Let's not leave it to somebody else alone. So that's my two cents of the interview. I loved talking with him. I'm looking forward to chatting with him more and getting more in touch with him. Reminder, you can find out more about Dylan King at outliftingfshd.com. So let's take our final break. When we come back on the other side, we'll close up shop. This is the FSHD Society Radio Show. Today's FSHD Society Radio Show podcast is brought to you by PerkinElmer Genomics. PerkinElmer Genomics, a global leader in genetic and genomic testing, knows that getting a diagnosis matters. That's why PerkinElmer Genomics offers a comprehensive portfolio of test options to answer the complex medical questions that will inform care decisions and provide patients and their families with the best possible outcomes. Using the newest and most innovative technologies coupled with expert genomic interpretation, PerkinElmer Genomics provides diagnostic solutions for a range of conditions, from broad approaches such as whole exome and whole genome sequencing for rare disorders, to target gene testing for neuromuscular disorders, including FSHD type 1 and type 2, and Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. Talk to your healthcare provider about exploring the testing options available through PerkinElmer Genomics and visit us at PerkinElmerGenomics.com. Burke and Elmer Genomics, radically rethinking genomics. Welcome back, FSHG Society Radio Show. Yes, a special thank you to our sponsors, that's Burke and Elmer and Fulcrum, for helping us bring this show every episode, and so grateful to them. The other sponsor we like to thank is Optum. They're a big part of the walk and roll. And when this episode is airing, we're inching closer to that day of the walk and roll day, which is September 17th of 2022. So there'll be other walk and roll events might be around it, but I think that's the main core day. So visit Optum.com, support them. They create a healthier world. One insight, one connection, one person at a time is Optum. At Optum.com. All your health needs, all in one place, changing healthcare. They sponsor the walk and roll. So check out Optum. I actually use Optum at my job. It's actually really, really helpful and convenient when it comes to me from a provider standpoint where I'm getting insurance information. So I support Optum. They make my life easier at work, and I think they're going to make yours as well. So thank you to them. Thank you as well to Dylan. Great job talking a little bit about his life, sharing, going from Marine, you know, lifting heavily, FSHD rears its ugly head. Then his family gets diagnosed. Mother has it. One brother does, one doesn't. The mother has no symptoms at all. Dylan is showing some, you know, his pectorals and other muscles. And we touched on a lot of things. We touched on, you know, staying humble, staying hungry. Get into the gym. Do what you can do. Make a gym at home. Humble yourself to go, okay, I'm only going to lift 10 pounds with this curl. I'm only going to lift 5 pounds with this. Fine. Then that's it. Okay. Then do as many you can of those. Make yourself feel better. It helps your mental health, which is where we were drifting to within the conversation as well. Talked about how it affects masculinity, the image, you know, image of this. It's very difficult. And you have to come to grips with all of it so you can be your new you. A good advice I got from someone when I was diagnosed within that first couple weeks and she had MS was, you know, you're going to grieve. You're going to grieve the loss of the person you thought you were going to be or the person you are. They're gone now. That person you now realize will not be created through your time. It'll be something else. The acceptance of that, I think, is very important in your own time. So if I can help, if Dylan can help, if somebody else within the FSHD Society community can, reach out to us. FSHDSociety.org is, of course, a great resource. The contact us is not going to be ignored. I see people messaging on Facebook Messenger through FSHD Society on there. You can contact me directly, FSHDradio@FSHDSociety.org. People in the past have. I'm extremely humbled by that. I love making that connection. That's where the path of my life is going, the fact that I can't lift and do the physical work I've done. I believe now my calling is coaching people and using this platform and others to help do that. And it's something I love to do selfishly, but selflessly, I believe I'm called to do it. And it's important to me. So if you feel like I can help you out, let me know. Or anybody else in the society, as well as Dylan King, you can reach out to him as well. So the big point, I think, of this whole thing is keep going, keep pushing. Join part of the walk and roll, join events near you, do everything you can to be a part of the society, part of the group, because in the community, it makes life a lot easier, a lot better. Community is always better that way. It just helps with the mental days where you're feeling a little down. Up-and-coming events, you visit FSHDSociety.org. Speaking of all that, right, being a part of those things, we'd love for you to be a part of those things because I think the community brings you support. It brings you what you need in regards to, you know, not just getting by, but thriving within this to do something about it. So thanks again to our special guest today, Dylan King, sharing his message, being a part of our community today and here forward. We'll bring him back in for sure. I think a lot of people want to know what he has to say. Stay tuned for other episodes coming up, as well as find all past episodes on YouTube. I think they still live out there on Facebook possibly, but definitely anywhere you find podcasts. driving your car, as Dylan said. He goes, I love to educate myself and get more information through those platforms. We offer that too. Every episode is available through Spotify and other platforms you listen to podcasts. Thanks again for joining me. Y'all take care of yourself. We'll see you on the next episode. You've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.